good evening. Trust everyone has had a good day, and it's getting closer to Christmas. Can't wait, huh? Can't wait. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I love you, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy it is for it to spend time with family. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless our church family, bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I trust everyone has a copy of their handout tonight, and we'll good old time. I'll take just a moment here. All right, who has a blessing they'd like to share? We got a little extra time here this evening. God's been so good, jumping up and down, can't hardly stand it, got to tell somebody. All right, let's look at our Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11, I'll read that passage of scripture here in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Father, bless the reading of your word and our time together tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, your provisions. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for the abundance that you bestowed upon us. Now bless our time together tonight in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we'll finish up this portion of reference on abundance, and we'll go in another direction on abundance here the next time we meet on Wednesday night. But we've talked about the gems of abundance. Remember, it was hard work and diligence, knowledge, faithful character, counsel that is wise leads to an abundance. Giving honors the Lord and leads to abundance last week. And tonight we'll look at a couple more letter out there. Giving generously to others leads to abundance. Giving generously to others. And yes, as we look there, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So what is a liberal soul? What does Solomon mean by this term? The liberal soul is a person who is generous. A person who is generous. And we'll cover it a little more later, but don't misunderstand. Generosity is not always in the form of finances. Generosity could be in the form of your time. Just being a listening ear, a time of you just giving of your time, giving of your talents, or just being there and being available. The liberal soul, again, is a person who is generous. God says this person will be made fat, not the fat that you're thinking about, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but generosity leads to an abundance of things. Generous people will prosper. They will reap the blessings of encouragement, provision, and refreshment of others. See, when we are generous with God or with what God has given us, it causes people to appreciate, respect, or admire because we are demonstrating selflessness concerning love for others. And again, we hear in the Gospels, there's a portion of the Gospels that says, what do ye more than others? You know, how do we think of others in providing and giving and being kind to them? Being generous brings great joy and delight from giving to people in need. See, you haven't really lived until you've done something for somebody who could never repay you. And then not expecting being repaid, but just out of your generosity. If I understand correctly, the real value of fat is a storehouse. Accurate, Dr. Mel? Dr. M? It's storehouse. So let's keep that thought in mind. When we consume energy by running or exercising, fat cells make that possible, and it's because it stores resources. America has an abundance of storehouse of wealth and spiritual resources. The challenge of Christians is to wisely use our resources for others. And oftentimes through our local church, others has a lot to do with reaching souls, missionaries, evangelists, projects that we take on or try to be involved with, and it's others. Do you take pleasure in thinking of yourself as a fat cell on the Sunday morning or Saturday when you sit down and write out your check for your tithes and offering? Do you think you're, in other words, when I say fat cell, I mean your storehouse, what God has prospered you and blessed you with, or when you give a generous special offering above your tithe? See, we shouldn't concentrate or think about how we could have used that money, but instead see it as funneling resources to help accomplish His work around the world. And that's what it's all about. 99% of the time, maybe a little lower, of the times that we take offering, it's either to help get the gospel out or help someone who is getting the gospel out. And sometimes it's to help another family that's in need within our church family. See, the desire for gain and the fear of loss are two motivating factors, but yet they should not be. Let me say that again. The desire for gain and the fear of loss are two motivating factors. When we invest in the Lord's work, we're not losing anything, but we're gaining much. Solomon makes it clear that generosity affects both motives. Solomon's motivations. The world says to hold on to as much as possible, but God blesses those who give freely through their possessions, their time, and their talents. After all, I've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Amen. You can't take it with you. When you are generous, you will have an abundance and have your needs met. Often someone may ask the question, why? Well, it's generosity that determines prosperity in God's economy. It's in God's, it says, given it shall be given unto you. Again, we are to give as God leads us and God gives us opportunity and pleasure. You will reap the blessings that you have sown. When we give, God supplies with more so that we can give more. And I really believe this with all of my heart as well. For the teacher who teaches, for the one who gives her their time, God allows us through practice to get better, to get more skilled, to be a better listener, to be a better teacher, to be a better communicator, just as it is with our finances. Giving gives the right perspective on our possessions. You see, as we learn, they were never really ours to begin with, but they were given to us by God to be used in ministry and to help others. Giving will bring freedom from the enslavement of possessions and joy in helping others and God's approval. You know, I see so many young people today that have so many things. And don't misunderstand me, I've got things too. But I see sometimes people with so many things. I still am amazed sometimes when Michelle and I are walking through our community and someone's outside with their garage open and they see things and I think about all this. I said, man, that guy's either loaded or he's up to his neck in debt. It squeaks every time he walks. We sometimes it's nothing wrong with having things, but where's our balance? What are we investing in with our finances, our time, our talents that we have, especially in the Lord's work? Let's see, where was I at? Again, you will reap the blessings that you have sown. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And it's so evident. Generosity not only involves giving wealth, as I mentioned earlier, but it also involves giving of your time and of your attention. See, you don't have to be wealthy to be generous because you can give other things, as I've mentioned. Many people would rather have attention and kindness because they need someone to display love toward them. You know, I can remember when my kids were small, and in particular my girls, we would have outings, just daddy-daughter, and we'd go out and do things with the girls, and times I would do things one-on-one. And no matter what we did, they were excited because they had dad all to themselves. I could have bought them a dress. I could have bought them an ice cream cone, or we could have just went for a walk. They were just as excited because I was investing and giving back some of our time. So often, sometimes, I think we realize the effect of giving someone our time and attention just to listen, to lend a hand, or just to be there for them. Selfishness leaves you dissatisfied with what you have and causes you to look for more of what you think that you need. This cycle of chasing after things that cannot satisfy is endless and leaves many miserable. According to Solomon, selfishness eventually leads to loss and to poverty. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Giving generously to others leads to abundance. And the next letter G, or the next thing on our list, good words lead to abundance. Good words lead to abundance. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. See, what comes from your mouth comes from your heart. Your words will determine whether you will go through life fulfilled and satisfied or miserable. A big mouth creates big trouble. The abundance that you will enjoy will be affected by what comes from your lips. So why is that? Well, the words that flow from our mouth reflect the attitude by what comes from our lips. Again, the words that flow from our mouth reflects the attitudes that we have about life, ourself, God, and others. Your attitude stinks when your words stink. Words that are harsh or that stir up hatred, bitterness, anger, hurt, and division only creates for you what creates those things for others. Now, I wanted to think of a good example. I found this humorous. I literally laughed out loud. But I was looking for some illustrations to go along with this, and it can have its help, and it can have its aid, and it can be a rabbit hole. You got to be careful, but with AI and Google searches. But I found something, a story and illustration I hope kind of goes well with the aspect of harshness can stir up anger or bitterness or anger. It can leave people upset. It can create division, and it creates stress really in you if you're not careful, but also in others. John was out of town on a trip, and he asked his brother to take care of his cat. The cat was beautiful and meant so much to John. And although his brother, who was caring for the cat, did not like cats at all, he agreed to care for it. When John got back from his trip, he called his brother and asked about his cat. John was harsh and replied, "Your cat died," and he hung up the phone. For days, the brother was devastated. Finally, he phoned his brother again to point out, "It was needless cruelty and sadistic of you to tell me so bluntly that my poor beloved cat had passed away." John asked, "Well, what did you expect me to do?" And his brother said, "Well, you could have broken the bad news to me gradually. First, you could have said the cat was playing on the roof. Later, you could have called to say that he fell off the roof. The next morning, you could have reported that he had a broken leg. And then when I came to get him, you could have told me that he had passed away during the night because of complications of his poor broken leg. But you didn't have it in you to be caring, my brother. Now, tell me, how's Mom doing?" John pondered for a moment. John pondered for the moment and said, "She's playing on the roof." So I couldn't help it. I read that and I just laughed like you guys. I just laughed so hard. It took me a few minutes to get back and to finish my sermon. But be kind. Be nice. And don't go tell anyone this week that their mom's playing on the roof, okay? So if your attitude and words are under the control of the Holy Spirit, then what comes from our lips will be a fountain of blessings. Sometimes we just need to think, or some of us just need to pause before we speak. We need to guard our heart, we need to guard our speech, and count our words sometimes in half. Just cut them. For some, maybe don't talk so much. Think before you say something and try to make your words encouraging and uplifting. Well, preacher, sometimes that can be very hard. Well, yeah, and sometimes maybe you could be a little hard too. But think about words that are encouraging and uplifting. Being a blessing to other people is very satisfying and fulfilling when you encourage others. Shift the focus from self to ministering and to encouraging others. Giving generously leads to abundance. Good words leads to abundance and kindness. And then lastly tonight, trusting the Lord leads to abundance. Trusting the Lord. Again, Proverbs, this time chapter 28 and verse number 25. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Now, it is so much easier to say that than it is to live it. Sometimes it's kind of like worry when we have our trust. I remember I did a series, talked a little bit about worry here a year ago, year and a half ago. Sometimes we want to put our worry down on our little worry tray and we want to walk away, but every step we want to go back and we just kind of want to check on it. And sometimes we find a difficulty as well in just trusting the Lord. It's hard sometimes just to let go and say, Lord, I know it's better for me to be quiet. I know it's better for me just to let this go. I know it's better for me to just trust you and trust you to abundantly care for me and fill the void that I may have. But it is, as the Bible says, good to do. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Sometimes that trust is putting our trust in the Lord over a scary situation. It's putting our trust in the Lord over our family, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a child or a grandchild. Lord, I'm just going to have to trust you with this, and that can be very hard. Solomon says that we will prosper, we will have abundance, or we will be fat if we will put our trust in Christ. We will be prosperous. Things will be abundant for us. Proud people tend to be self-dependent and independent of the Lord, which leads to problems and poor decisions. We need to remember, sometimes, don't ever allow yourself to be put in a box to think you've got an answer today. Now, we got a text message today, and Michelle and I was talking about it, and she says, you know, I think I'm going to just respond this way. And I said, well, what if we just wait 24 hours? What if we just wait 12 hours? Just give us some time, think about it, pray about it before we make a commitment or before we respond. And sometimes the best thing that can be is just wait and to take the time to pray about it. How often do we respond to a text message, social media, or something of that nature, or a phone call, or an email, or a letter, without saying, maybe I need to put this down and just think about it and pray about it? And say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. And sometimes when we're moved to the Lord to leave it alone, let it lie, or not to say anything, or to do something else, sometimes we're like, remember, we're talking to God. Are you sure? That's not trust, but it's human nature. It is human nature. Proud people, again, tend to be self-dependent and independent of the Lord, which leads to problems and poor decisions. Selfishness and ruthlessness tends to offend people and stir up resentment. See, aggressiveness ends up being a hindrance to getting what you seek. But trusting the Lord leaves you with dependence upon Him. Take a moment and think about a time, and I'm not going to ask people to share, but think about a time where you wished you would have just trusted the Lord. Man, I just wish I would have trusted the Lord. Man, I wish I'd have just left that alone. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have went in there. I wish I wouldn't have turned that on, or whatever the case may be. It can be at times that trust factor, which involves faith and just trusting the Lord, that sometimes it's better just to let it go. Trust gives you a balanced and accurate assessment of yourself and about life. Here it is, the Christmas season. Here it is, a time where holidays and all this going on, though it's a very exciting time for many, it's also a very depressing and discouraging time for others. But how we'll spend it, how we'll treat others, how generous we'll be. And you know, I've shared this before, and I'm going to fit it in here before we close here in a few minutes tonight. Yeah, I'll carry this extra time over to Sunday. Okay. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I just went right over that. No wonder I've got extra time. Let me encourage you to be generous. It's not just during the Christmas season, not just because you think it might help someone. Have you ever thought about just praying, Lord, how can I be generous this year in the new year? Lord, will you show me and give me opportunities to be generous? And here's what happens when we do that. If we're not careful, say, Lord, show me and give me opportunities to be generous. And then an opportunity comes up. We go, whoa, wow, what's that going to cost me? But we say, well, you know, Lord, you just ask the Lord to help you to be generous and to show you opportunities, and then we worry about it. That's the looking over the shoulder or looking back and wonder, well, what else could have I done? Years ago, and I think I've shared this before, and I'll share this and we'll close and go into our prayer time. We made a decision several years ago that every year at Christmas, we try to be anonymous when we can, but we can't always. But we try to be a blessing to others in ministry, whether it be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist. Try to be a blessing to them. Find out maybe some needs or find out about a fun thing for the family that we can just be a blessing, something they might not normally do or cannot afford to do at this time, just to be a blessing, just to be a source of encouragement. And through the years, there's been times that we've been able to do that, and there's been times where it worked out where we weren't able to be completely anonymous, but we were able to do some things. And I remember one year when we were overseas in Germany, our little base got a brand new commissary and a brand new PX, and it was nice, had a food court, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do that year, and we wasn't quite sure. So what we ended up doing, we ended up doing something for someone in ministry, but that year we wanted to do something else for others that serve others. Now, some of these people I didn't know real well. Some of them might have been believers. Some of them might not have been believers. But we decided we were going to give a few gifts to some of the people that work in the food court to keep it clean, to wipe up tables, to keep things cleaned up, and try to anonymously do something for them, a gift card or something else. And evidently, I trusted the wrong person. I thought I could have trusted the manager of the whole building. If you would mind giving these anonymously to a few people, and I named who they were and what they did. We just want to be a blessing, but we want to remain anonymous. So he agreed to do, and he did it, and there was a couple people that worked there. It ended up being also one of a high school student that was actually serving and working. I included her. And then I guess Christmas came around and Christmas left, and we were about the first of the year, and I was in there one day with some of the guys that I had met with and mentored with through the week at the food court. And one of the guys came by, and he's a big fella, former military, came by and tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and I stood up. And he just put a big old bear hug on me, picked me up and said, "Thank you so much, that was so thoughtful." And I thought, for what? I guess the manager told him. But just to see the appreciation, you just don't know. We had a rough year this past year. That is why I'm working this job that I am. That's why I'm still looking for another job. But it was such a blessing, I just wanted to say thank you. And I whispered back in his ear, "Can you let me go now?" But we don't know at times when God leads us to be a blessing of how much and what it means to others. Trust the Lord will help us all, but to help you to make wise choices and decisions. Wisdom and the way we handle ourselves will lead to abundant blessings. They will lead to abundant blessings. Next time we get together, it should be the next week, unless I do something different, but we'll go continue with abundance. But we'll talk about problems with abundance. Problems with abundance. All right, as always, this preacher loves you. Of course, the Lord loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I bless you. You're dismissed.